Well, 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 Matthew Fairburn, just a couple days after you and I were together talking about Don Granato and his departure, the Sabres have moved pretty quickly to get themselves another head coach. Good evening, everyone. Happy Monday. It is April 22nd, 2024. This is the Baker Fairburn Hockey Show. We are live here on a Monday evening. On the left, you can see my old man face as Chris Baker. You can find me at Sabres Prospects on X. On the right, wearing his hat, representing the company that pays him handsomely, The Athletic's Matthew Fairburn. You can find Matthew on The Athletic app. I didn't plug the app last time, Matthew, which is what I exclusively use, as well as theathletic.com. Matthew, of course, intrepid Sabres writer for The Athletic. You can still subscribe. I believe that deal is still going for $1.99 a month. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It might have gotten better. But there's some sort of deal going for the week of the NFL draft. The occasion for the sale is not that Lindy Ruff has been hired as the Sabres coach, believe it or not. But there's some sort of deal running right now for those who like to catch a good deal.
Well, as folks trickle in, and now that you've already stolen the headline for me, Matthew, for those that are wondering why we are live after just going live a couple days ago, yes, the Sabres have made a hire. And I'm actually glad that we got it out of the way as quickly. I know we're going to talk about the speed of the hire here, I'm sure. But as people trickle in, before we begin, if you could please like this video, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when the Baker Fairburn Hockey Show goes live. You can find the Baker Fairburn Hockey Show on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could please leave a 5-star review. I can do that in my sleep, Matthew. Not leave a 5-star review. Do that little spiel. But here we are on a Monday. I thought I was just going to skate into my work week. But no, the Sabres are back at it again, making a hire, of course, bringing back Lindy Ruff. When times are rough, hire Lindy. And I'm sure that the Sabres fans here in the chat are going to have a lot of thoughts on this. Curious to see what everyone's thinking. If I had to guess without even looking at the chat or Twitter, reactions have to be all over the board. But let's just kind of start, I guess, Matthew, with your thoughts on the hire. I was out at a local establishment on a Monday, and I guess I can call her my girlfriend. Girlfriend looks down. She's like, the Sabres hired Lindy Ruff. And I'm like, she's breaking the news to me. A, that's a keeper. But B, I immediately pick up my phone. I texted you, and I think it was a one word. It's like, geez. Here we go, kid. Thoughts, immediate reactions on the hire. And in full disclosure, I haven't read anything that you may have put out there yet. So shame on me. But I'll just pass it over to you. Entry-level thoughts on the news of the day.
Yeah, we had a news story up at The Athletic, and we posted the story Tim Graham and I did from last spring when he was entering the playoffs as coach of the Devils, where we talked to 19, I believe was our final number, former teammates, players, fellow assistants, to just get the best, the greatest hits of Lindy Ruff stories. So we reposted that for people who may have missed it the first time around. Anyone who's feeling the nostalgia will love jumping into that story and seeing some of the funny tales that guys shared. But just filed a column also that'll be live at The Athletic, I believe, first thing tomorrow morning. So broad strokes thoughts, I guess we should start with nostalgia, right? That's probably a good place to begin. And we did get into Lindy Ruff a little bit on our last episode over the weekend. He was one of the candidates that we ran down. The nostalgia piece, I think, is there are going to be a lot of questions about this hire. And I think all of the questions and concerns that people have are fair. The nostalgia one actually doesn't worry me as much as a couple others that we'll get into. And part of the reason why is because of what I mentioned on Saturday, that if the nostalgia can connect with a certain part of the fan base that probably feels disenchanted, to say the least, with the product that's been on the ice over the last decade plus, then to me, you might be able to positively impact your hockey team if you can bring some of that energy back into the community, back into your building. I think that can be a positive for this group. Do you want to make a hire for nostalgia's sake? No. But this is not a hire for just out of nostalgia. You're talking about a guy who led the New Jersey Devils to their best point total in franchise history just last season, playing with a young roster and a similar playing style to what the Sabres are designed to play when they're playing their best. So this guy can still coach. This season, you might say, didn't go as well for Lindy Ruff in New Jersey, right? Well, the cap hit of injured players for the Devils finished fifth highest in the NHL. So they had a lot of injuries to key players. Their 5-on-5 save percentage, fifth worst in the NHL. I would say goaltending and injuries, two big deals for why his team took a step back. So this guy can still coach. I don't mind dipping into some of the old good feelings, considering how broken the fan-to-team dynamic has been over the course of the last, particularly probably the last 5 to 10 years. And I will jump to two of the things that maybe do concern me with the hire, but they're more questions, I think, right now than they are legitimate concerns. One would be, how much of a search was there?
Yeah, the speed of the hire is my immediate question.
6 days from the press conference announcing Granato's firing to the announcement that Lindy Ruff had been hired. We spoke, it could have been when we spoke or when we got together for Pat Moran's show, but we talked about the advantage that the interview process can be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're talking to veteran coaches. Casting that wide net, getting different opinions on
getting
what's
the
going
opinions
on the
of the roster.
Yeah. Even if you don't agree with what Craig Berube or Gerard Gallant or Bruce Boudreau or Dean Evason has to say about your team, hearing it, seeing all these,
even if you knew you weren't going to hire them.
Absolutely. You're still getting those different viewpoints on what may or may not be wrong with your team. You're starting to get a better perspective league wide on what is and isn't wrong with your team. And when it comes to this Sabres regime in particular, I understand people who are skeptical for that reason. They did not do a search when they hired Kevin Adams to be their general manager. They just hired him. And so that brings me to my second point, which I think could be a question slash maybe a concern, is familiarity. I think people are confusing the nostalgia piece for the familiarity piece. Nostalgia doesn't bother me. That's a bonus, right? You got a guy that connects to your fan base, understands the alumni in a town where, frankly, that, you know, the fan engagement, you know, from the team hasn't been great. The whole salute the crowd, all this mess, but also in a place where not every candidate is going to be attracted to this job. Lindy Ruff cares. He's got the history. Like, that part doesn't bother me. It's the familiarity within the current regime. We spoke over the weekend about, would Kevin Adams hire somebody who really makes him uncomfortable, right? Somebody who really challenges him. This is a bit in between. Lindy Ruff has the personality to do that, no doubt, right? He has the commanding presence to call out some BS in the building. But there's a shared history. Kevin Adams was on his staff. Terry Pegula is very comfortable with Lindy Ruff, said he could always call him a friend when he fired him. And I guess that rang true because he hired him back. So the friendship, I guess, remains intact.
Yeah.
But there, that level of familiarity, that comfort, you don't want it to be too comfortable. And so hopefully Lindy still has that fire that he became known for as a player, because that might have been part of, you know, what went wrong with Kevin Adams and Don Granato, is too comfortable or not enough pushback from Don Granato when things needed to be pushed forward. So if Lindy Ruff can do that, and if they can get the right assistance around him, put a good staff around him, I feel like this is a pretty good hire. I feel like they can win with Lindy Ruff. I feel like they're close. And Lindy Ruff can get them to the playoffs. Can you get him to a Stanley Cup? You know, that's always been the shortcoming. But one step at a time, right? Haven't been to the playoffs for 13 years. Worry about that after these guys get some playoff experience under their belt.
It looks like Lindy's been to the playoffs, what, three times since he left Buffalo? So it's not like it's a, you know, he is like the guaranteed elixir for this team either, because it's not like it was, he was a magic wand that he waved over any other franchise since he left Buffalo. But I guess we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, when you go back to Kevin Adams' press conference on that Tuesday, the day that he relieved Don Granato of his duties, you know, he kind of laid out what he was looking for. And Lindy does check all those boxes, but it also seemed like it was almost obvious that he was going to hire Lindy. And then the more that you talk to people around town that know Kevin well, it became very clear that he loved Lindy. And so I guess in that sense, it wasn't really shocking news today, right? The nostalgia thing for me, yeah, I get it. It's nice. And I think I'm kind of aligned with what you've already described. It's a bonus. I think you're going to pick up maybe more some of those casual Sabres fans. You might get some interest back from them. The folks that really follow this team every day, I think that's where you're going to get a lot of the questions. And maybe we won't know until the fall, early winter, if this was a good move or not. I don't know where I sit on it, actually, and just in terms of, I mean, we talked about it a couple times already on this show. It was compelling. I like it for some reasons. If they had waited a little longer, maybe, and we kind of had some validation that they had talked to more people, like maybe he did just have multiple interviews that we just don't know about. It just seems really fast. Seems preconceived. And that's the only part that I think is concerning to me. Did Kevin do due diligence when making this hire? But so I guess we'll, you know, I guess I need a little more time, I think, to process it myself. One thing that I can say is that, like, that first preseason game or like opening night, the home opener, is going to be pretty wild for a lot of fans when they see Lindy come out of the tunnel and take his position there at that bench. It's going to be, that'll be kind of cool to see, just as, you know, a Buffalo sports enthusiast, or, you know what I mean? But I think you raise a good point about the staff, because that's what I kept going back to when we talked about Lindy as a potential hire here, was it's great. He's 64 years old. Got a good record. I think leading men is leading men. So it's like, and he can do that, but he's got to be insulated, I think, with a really good staff. I'm really curious to see how that shakes out. I'm almost guaranteed that's probably the flavor. You know, I kind of glanced at the chat and there's a lot of action already asking about the assistants and what that's going to look like. He has a couple guys that he's inheriting from the previous regime. But what is he going to do to look outside of the current group to bring in some talent? Because there's also a thought that, you know, is he, well, do we know the term? Like, how long of a deal did he sign for?
Not yet. Don't know exactly what we're looking at in terms of a contract, in terms of money. Although it's a good point to bring up that I believe financially, and I got to figure out exactly how this works, but because he is still getting paid by the Devils, that would offset some of the Sabres' cost, I believe, depending on what they paid. So,
because where I was going with that was, you know, what's the commitment? But also, you know, are you already thinking about a plan for him grooming someone else? Or is he going to even have an associate, not just an assistant? Probably not. I mean, he's Lindy Ruff. You know what I mean? I think there's some, you want that, you know, you want that head chef. You know what I mean? But I think there's still some questions that need to be answered. I think it's going to be a really interesting press conference, because I think both sides of, you know, you're going to get hit with, like, you know, Kevin has some questions to answer, I think, about it. But I don't disagree with the hire by any means, you know, and I got a dog that's just all over me. She won't go away. You got to go away. Seriously. Very distracting. But so I'm really curious to see, like, I think that my opinion, I need to hear Kevin speak about it a little bit more than just the sentences that he put out there, when he's also addressing this is not for nostalgia reasons, which was actually kind of an interesting way to announce the hire.
Right.
I've never seen anything like that, honestly, but maybe it's like, cause you don't see situations like this very often. It's like Grover Cleveland getting elected for a second time, you know?
You do see it once in a while in the NHL. I did actually send out a message in our NHL staff Slack channel at The Athletic just saying, anybody remember something like this? Because Ken Hitchcock, I remembered that one. Daryl Sutter. There was a ton of examples. Punch Imlach coached the Leafs two separate stints. Claude Julien with the Canadiens, Therrien with the Canadiens. There was a few other examples in there. So it does happen.
Probably Billy more, Martin.
You know, I will say that this is not quite Marv Levy. A lot of people want to say this is like Marv Levy coming back to be the GM of the Bills. I don't think that's a fair comparison, considering Marv Levy had retired as coach and then didn't really have much experience. You know, Lindy Ruff is still, you know, 12 months removed from winning a playoff series with the Devils. So
yeah,
I'm not ready to say this is a guy that's like, you know, completely toast and they're throwing him behind the bench just to try to sell tickets. I also don't know, and this is, you know, you mentioned the home opener will probably be a pretty fun night. Well,
it's gonna be cool. Yeah,
it'll be interesting though, because they're starting the season in Prague. So you know, if they lose a couple games, I don't know, you know, that might take some of the shine off of it. I don't think it's going to be an automatic huge ticket sale boost or huge, you know, I don't think it'll be automatic, but I do think if it works, it has the potential to be very, very good in that sense. If they're winning and Lindy seems like he has the guys going, it's just going to, it's going to really spark something, I think, with this fan base that's so hungry for a winner. And it will be, I think, to your point, tomorrow's going to be interesting to hear some of the answers to these questions. 6 days is long enough to talk to some coaches, not so long that you think it was overly thorough. I will bring up, we might as well sprinkle in some of the chats here. Rob Wise brings up the point, who's to say Lindy didn't have other offers and needed a decision from Buffalo? It's possible, right? You have to consider, you know, all these potential.
How many other jobs are open?
You got Ottawa, St. Louis could be looking for a coach. There's a few others that have interim.
I'm not discrediting Rob's question. I'm just wondering.
It's a possibility, right? I don't know if that's what happened here, because let's also not forget Kevin Adams said he was going to move quickly, or that he seemed willing to move quickly. He would wait if he needed to, but he wasn't necessarily trying to wait. So
your question that you asked him on that Tuesday, he knew, God, you have to think he knew that this is the direction that he was ultimately going to take when he had that. Cause I'm starting to wonder, did he already have conversations with Lindy before the decision on Granato? And we can, you know,
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I would, because they're pretty close. Lindy Ruff spends time here when he's not in season, or in this case, when he's unemployed. You know, he still has connections to the area. I would be surprised if that, you know, if he didn't have at least a feel that Lindy was open to it. And
I think that this was the job that Lindy wanted. So, like, I don't know if he was waiting on another offer. I mean, he's even hinted at that in the past in interviews. He had even talked to Botterill when they went in the direction with Ralph, right? I think he's on the record of even confirming that. You know, I don't know. I like going back to something that you said about 5 minutes ago. I actually like what you said about Lindy two seasons ago. That was actually, when you go back and you look at his coaching record in 2022-23 with Jersey, he was 52-22-8, 112 points. They lost in the second round to Carolina. That was his second most successful season as a head coach. That was just 2 years ago. You know, he had 113 points, I think it was, with the Sabres in 06-07. 112 in 2022-23. So, yeah, maybe the old guy still got it. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I wanted to mention that, though, because when you look at his record throughout the years, that number sticks out.
Well,
but it's also sandwiched. Like, he had 63 points the year before that.
I think another interesting or another worthwhile exercise is to look at the other candidates, which we did on Saturday.
Yeah.
And you can poke holes in all of them, right? Craig Berube, we were talking about, was another candidate high on a lot of lists. Well, they were having the same problems Buffalo was having this season in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. Power play, consistency. Gerard Gallant, you know, a lot of questions about how he works with younger players or connects with young players or, you know, the patience he has.
I need more than Alex Tuck to validate that Gallant's a good coach right. for young players.
And so that one, you know, you could poke holes in. Bruce Boudreau, he's even older than Lindy Ruff, yeah. right? And, you know, Todd McClellan, we had a commenter on the YouTube channel, I believe, you know, point out that his recent results aren't quite as good as his, you know, past results. So you start to poke holes in some of these candidates and you've already narrowed it down to the experienced guys, the pedigree guys. I do actually think Lindy is the best fit hockey-wise. Now, going back to the comfort and the familiarity, I also pointed out over the weekend that it raised my antenna that Matt Ellis and a few of the other assistants were still employed. Yeah. Matt Ellis in particular, because he played for Lindy Ruff. And it certainly will be easier to convince Lindy Ruff to keep some of those guys around than it will be to convince a complete outsider. So in a weird way, you get a little bit of both. You get the fresh eyes, because Lindy Ruff doesn't know these players. I mean, he knows them, but he doesn't know them personally. He knows them from scouting against them and you know, coaching against them. Mm-hmm. But you also get a little bit of the continuity in the building, whether it's reassigning Matt Ellis, putting him somewhere else, but having that, you know, dynamic. Maybe you can find a spot for Seth Appert. And like you said, how long is Lindy's contract? What is he looking at in terms of, do you put a plan in place for him to coach for a few years and then hand it off if things are going well?
There's continuity there with Seth Appert too. And maybe he's a logical you don't want to ever have anything predetermined in full.
Right.
But if you see a long-term path for Appert, that's kind of where I was going with asking about the term. You picked up on that, obviously, but trying to figure that out, like, what's the plan here? Like, bigger picture plan. What's the five-year plan?
And maybe
is it all Lindy?
Maybe Lindy at that point could go into the front office and you could mm-hmm. move some things around. This is all if it goes well. So.
But really, you should just have a one-year plan.
One-year plan. Get to the playoffs.
Make the damn playoffs.
Get to the playoffs and you buy yourself a lot of goodwill. The pressure that is has been putting on everybody in this organization going back more than 5 years now at this point, because it's been such a long drought. It weighs on every decision maker that comes in, and you put all this pressure to make the playoffs. It's not going away until somebody does it. And that's how it was with the Bills when they finally did it. You buy yourself some goodwill. You buy yourself some time to do things the way you want to do it. And it needs to be next year, I think. I mean, Kevin Adams, whatever he wants to say about the hire, nostalgia didn't play a role. These are human beings, right? Yeah. Nostalgia plays Bullshit. A role, right?
Bullshit. Yeah.
Nostalgia plays a role.
And I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just
no,
saying,
neither like, am I. Come on, I actually kind of, yeah. I don't mind it. Yeah. I don't mind it. Familiarity plays a role. Don't say it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Human beings are human beings. And like we said, Kevin Adams can say that his voice mailbox was full and that there was a ton of interest in the job. I'm sure there were people poking around. It's a head coach job in the NHL. I'm sure there were some hockey guys interested in that. But
Tuesday he said that his phone was going off all day, right? With
right. Looked but like no, probably... nobody could have had as much interest as Lindy Ruff, given how much he cares. And so all those feelings, you can't pretend that they didn't play a role. I just don't think you can't say nostalgia didn't play a role in the hire. And then, you know, within an hour, there's some well-produced social media videos about, you know, the good old days, right? Like,
yeah,
It's going to play a little bit of here.
We're definitely going to hit the chat here in a little bit. This is really a kind of a fan cast, you know, for the most part. Hey, while you're here, everyone. Oh, a couple things. So like the video if you like the hire. Like the video if you don't like the hire, if you could. In the comments, actually, below. Not in the chat. Actually, in the video comments. Let's go one-word reaction to the Lindy Ruff hire. I think that'll be kind of interesting. You can leave any other comment you want, but I think a one-word reaction will be fun. My word is probably safe. Feels kind of safe.
I think that's
You cover a lot of ground with this hire. You know, you got the, there's fans that are going to like it. There's fans that are going to give it a chance. There's going to be some that hate it. But I think overall, it's kind of a safe, it's the safest hire, I think, at least of the bucket of candidates that we talked about. To your point already, you could poke holes in McClellan, Berube, Woodcroft, some of these other guys. You know, even if you go deeper down the list with an Evason. I talked about Dallas Eakins just because he's looking for a job. I didn't think he was even close to being in consideration for the job. None of those really would have been safe.
Even those who don't like the hire probably like Lindy, right?
I think so. Just like my phone was going off, you know, friends and stuff, and people are asking me what I think. I said, I don't know. You know what I mean? But they're all like kind of, you know what? People are talking about it. Like it's a kind of, you know, there. And first of all, you can't just look at Twitter. There's people are just going to shit on everything, right? There's always, you know, we always say like the world would be a boring place if everyone agreed all the time on everything. There's always going to be people that are just going to hate the hire. The people there, but there's people that are questioning the hire and don't like it. I think for what I'm assuming, I did not look, but I didn't, you know, go through with a fine tooth comb. There's people that I think are well reasoned, questioning it, not thinking it's the best hire. And I'm just sitting here saying, I don't know, let's give it a chance. Cause I told you even last on Saturday, I wasn't in love with that list of guys that were out there available. Really wasn't. So I don't know. It's going
to
be.
No, I think the more you went through it, the more you realized there were.
You keep circling back to Lindy, though. You kept circling back to him.
You kind of did because of the recent results, his were some of the best. I know Berube has a cup, right? So that's a draw. Gallant. Lindy beat Gallant in the playoffs last year with a younger team. So it was actually that piece of it, Chris, that got me coming back to Lindy Ruff, that Devils team. That could be this Sabres team, play style-wise. You know, and in terms of, are they a one-to-one stylistic match? Maybe not, but that's what you want. The fact that he showed he could, you know, we talked to all those people for that story last year about his, you know, days as a player, his days as a coach, and everything in between. A lot of fun off the ice stories, but a lot of, you know, Greg Brown, who coaches at Boston College,
DC,
played with Lindy in Rochester, coached with Lindy as an assistant in New Jersey, and talked about how much he understands the modern athlete and the modern game, and how much he has managed to stay on the cutting edge. Danny Briere, Tim Graham spoke to Danny, and he said a big misconception about Lindy is that he's this defensive coach. He said compared to most coaches that he had, Ruff was actually the one who adapted his system to the talent he had more than a lot of coaches that Briere played for in that era. So that's probably why he stayed on this cutting edge and managed a season like he did. Are his results perfect? No, but I promise you, if they hired Berube, you'd be looking at some of the recent results and wondering. If they hired Gallant, there would be reasons for skepticism. So just like you don't make a hire just because of nostalgia, you don't not make it just because you're going to be accused of nostalgia either, right? You don't make it just to hire somebody different, because you kind of get in that problem. I think the Sabres have made just about every hiring mistake you can make when hiring a coach, right? In the last, since Terry Pegula has been the owner, this is the one I guess they haven't made. Like, you count Ted Nolan, as like going back to the well, but he was more so just there to take a beating during the tank, I think. This is one they haven't made, I guess. This is a mistake they haven't made yet. If it doesn't work out, I've actually, you know, I think we talked over the weekend that, oh, if it doesn't work out, will it tarnish Lindy's legacy? I actually don't even worry about that anymore, because I think a lot of people would be like, even Lindy couldn't fix it, right? It got so broken that even Lindy couldn't fix it. It wouldn't be, I don't think, of course, everything has the potential to get ugly. I just don't see that happening. I actually think they have a pretty good chance to get over the edge next season. I like making the upshot to making the hire right now is a lot of time to map out what the assistants could look like. Maybe a first crack at some assistants and get the ball rolling on that process. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but you would have liked maybe another week to give the appearance of a bit more thorough interview process, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm out of here in a week, for a week. So like this weekend, I'm gone. So I'm glad they got, selfishly, I'm glad they got it done. Yeah.
You're off to Brazil, right? To meet with all of our fans and
close, not far from Brazil. I'll be down not far. I got a big ass hat today too that I'm taking with me down when I'm be closer to the equator. But speaking of assistants and kind of getting on that train a little bit, Rob Wise, good chatter, good friend of the show, has put a couple in here. So he's covering his assistant coaches in New Jersey, where Sergey Breland, Ryan McGill, and of course, Chris Taylor, very familiar name to Sabres fans. And then he followed up with a smattering of some of his assistants in Dallas, including longtime NHLers, Kurt Fraser and James Patrick. Yeah, Fraser's over in Europe now. James Patrick, currently out of work, has some familiarity with two guys by the name of Zach Benson and Matthew Savoy.
Kind of interesting. Peyton Krebs.
And Peyton Krebs. Yep. And Peyton Krebs. So that's going there. I did throw up a couple other chats. Yeah. So I mean, kind of on that train. I mean, there is a lot of action now. I think some folks are thinking about this how I am and how you are. It's going to be really compelling to see how he rounds out the staff. And I think it's going to be important. Seth Appert, you know, if that Rochester team goes on another run, I mean, they went deep last year, lost to Hershey. They go on another run. I think there's a nice little argument to be made that maybe it's time to graduate him up and find another guy to develop the young guys down in Rochester. Something to consider. Kevin Adams also brought Seth Appert up to run the bench ahead of Christy Wolford and Matt Ellis last year when Don Granato had a little issue where he couldn't be around the team for a couple days, sick. Right?
I will point out that James Patrick is not unemployed, Chris. He is a head coach of the Victoria Royals.
Oh, that's right.
So be a step. Getting back to the NHL, I still think would be probably a step up for him. But
yes, yes, that's right. That's right. Thank you for the correction. Let's see what else we got going on here. Michael, we got to give a shout out here because he is with us in the middle of the night in Sweden. So he's saying it's 3:20 a.m. here in Sweden. I'm a little late getting to this comment, obviously. Let me say good morning, everyone, first. And that Lindy's back. Michael is on the pro Lindy train. That's a happy Swede that we have in the chat. Player reaction to this. You know, we heard some of the guys, well, we heard Alex talk specifically, I guess, talk about Lindy Ruff and Gallant. You already mentioned some of those comments. That'll be kind of interesting, right? Because they were just talking about accountability, want to be pushed in practice. We've seen plenty of video over the years of Lindy getting pretty animated in practice. Any players come to mind that have to kind of change some things or might be saying, oh, shit, with this hire?
Lindy or Tim Graham pointed out that he spoke to Larry Quinn recently, and he mentioned that Jeff Skinner is probably one of those players. I think in theory, Jeff Skinner could be one of those players. I think this Lindy Ruff that people will see now is a different Lindy Ruff than the one that was here last time. But I'm curious to see how this is going to be an interesting adjustment. A lot of guys are mentioning how much they want accountability and structure and all of these things, but the patience that Don Granato had over the last couple of seasons with some of these players also probably helped guys like JJ Paterka, develop into the players that they are. So I'm pretty curious to see how a Peterka responds to, or maybe how Lindy responds to JJ Peterka and some of the details in his game that that need cleaning up. You know, Owen Power maybe playing, maybe needing to play a bit more rugged in front of the net for Lindy's liking. There's going to be, I would hope he leans into that a little bit, especially early, because of how much the guys say they wanted it, right? Find out just how much they want to be pushed and find out where that upper limit is early on. This is going to make for, honestly, a fascinating, fascinating story, I think. It would have regardless of the coach, but now you add in the, you know, the history, the fact that they opened the season against the team that fired Lindy Ruff, and just where this team is, where a lot of these players are at a pivotal point in their career. This is sort of Lindy's last stand too, right?
Gotta be.
You'd have to think he won't get another chance to be a head coach. And so that's what makes me think he's not just going to sit there and be a yes man to everything Kevin Adams wants to do. I think he's going to stand up and push for what he wants, because I think he will know, A, that it's his last stand, and B, his legacy is somewhat on the line. Like we said, it's not going to be ruined, but I think he views it as he's putting that Buffalo legacy on the line to be, you know, potentially, you know, beaten up a little bit if things don't go well. And so I don't think he's going to be a pushover necessarily, nor should he be. I think it's as important that he pushes people in the coaching staff and the front office as it is that he pushes the players. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I'm just, yeah, fascinated. Like, it's still, I don't know. We have a lot of time, obviously, to think through this a little bit more. I started, and I shared this with you, I think, on this show, but also offline, like, you know, when he was canned by Jersey, it was like, definitely bring him back. We talked about it. And then I started thinking, I don't know if it's for the best, you know? And then the more you talk away, I'm talking my way and listening to you, and I think tomorrow it'll come together after we hear the press conference. I can probably certainly rationalize it. But hopefully you get some honest answers about how extensive this search was, because that's going to answer a lot of questions.
I'm sure they'll say they interviewed a lot of people. It's going to take probably a little more digging to piece together exactly how extensive it was, but we'll see what they have to say. There will be some revealing answers, I'm sure, in the press conference, because those are certainly, it happens, right? Whether they do it on purpose or by accident, they tell you something in terms of how they answer questions.
You touched upon this briefly already, but Steven Cantor says, with Lindy being hired, do you see a defensive system or a run and gun system? If it's a defensive system, is Jeff Skinner's days as a Sabre numbered? Well, again, the Skinner contract is its own little standalone topic that we're going to be bobbing and weaving through this offseason. I don't see it being a defensive system. I think going back to Daniel Briere's comments, especially the ones that Matthew already mentioned, and Steven, I know this comment came in 20, 25 minutes ago, so I get it. You're knowing where I'm going with this, but I think that you can't look at this talent on the team and think that Lindy's going to coach to the talent, not to his own system, and that they could be playing to that. I would expect an up and down style, but as long as, you know, defensive accountability, responsibility, certainly part of it. You can't just go one way. That's kind of where I'm at. Matthew, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that one.
I think what we saw in New Jersey is encouraging for what you could see here. I think the Jeff Skinner point, Steven, is wise to go there, because to me, that is actually the next big decision that you have to make in some ways, because you have to know what the lineup, how many spots you're working with, and what the number is in terms of cap space that you're working with. So you have to decide. You don't have to announce tomorrow whether he's bought out or not, but I think you need to have that plan in place as you start to put together a lineup, because it impacts a lot of other decisions, not just whether the space is open and the money is open, but if he's here, who's playing with him? How is Lindy going to get the most out of Jeff Skinner if he is, in fact, still a Buffalo Sabre after this offseason? So I, you know, in the process of putting together a list of offseason decisions and questions for, that are important to this summer for the Sabres, that is right up there on the list, right after the coach, is Jeff Skinner.
Yep.
Like, right. And
so here we are again. Yep.
Right. Like I've said it, I think they should buy him out, but you know, it's absolutely, you know, very high on the list of priorities for them this summer to at least figure it out.
I don't see it happening, but I guess we'll see. I mean, I'd love to be wrong, you know, just because creates an opportunity for a young player to kind of maybe get their way in there if they earn it. And there's guys who are going to be on the precipice of earning it, especially after watching some of those games this weekend, man. Some of those young guys in the Amerks are looking pretty damn close to ready. And speaking of the Amerks, longtime Rochester Amerks aficionado Tom Telfer, on the topic of Chris Taylor, says Chris Taylor was one of Lindy's assistants in New Jersey. He always ran a good power play in Rochester. That is true. And yeah, that'll be just kind of interesting to see the whole Chris Taylor situation. You know, does he kind of come back home to the organization where he was a longtime member both in the NHL and the AHL? We'll see what
that
happens.
That wasn't a great departure, right? He was part of Kevin Adams' initial round of firings.
I think it was Kevin.
When Kevin wasn't took Botterill. Over.
Yeah, because they went from...
So that would be
they went from Taylor to... Yeah, they'd have to kind of...
That would need some mending. And that's potentially a, you know, dynamic where Lindy could bridge the gap, you know, and, you know, that might not be the only one where he'd be able to do that, you know, between... the organization.
Haven't happened this alignment with USA Hockey. Okay. And Chris Taylor's not a USA Hockey guy. Seth Appert's a USA Hockey guy. Jeremiah Crow's a USA Hockey guy. All the, you know what I mean? There's an alignment there. Kind of goes back. There was a comment about Pekka. And I know I made the comment too. I was like, oh, maybe Lindy's a guy that could steal Pekka away. Hard to see that happening. I think that ship has sailed. I think, you know, he's they pushed him adrift and he's out there sailing the seas, man. Pekka is. And I just don't know if that ship ever comes
Mike's
back
good
to port.
For Michael Pekka in New York right now.
Yep.
Good team. And he's looking pretty good. He should be a hot candidate before too long. So that's going to be the thing. Jay McKee is another one that people brought up, you know, that maybe you can steal him from the OHL. I think James Patrick is absolutely a name to watch, especially because he knows some of the important pieces of this rebuild. Zach Benson, Matt Savoy, Peyton Krebs, less so than those two, but maybe could be just as important. So the assistants will no doubt be, you know, an interesting piece to this puzzle, because there are questions about, you know, Andrew Brunette and, you know, was some of Lindy's success, you know, did he fall off this year because he left and he's now coaching Nashville in the playoffs. I don't know if that's entirely fair, but because here's the thing, no matter who got hired, the staff was going to be important, right? Building your whole staff, you know, gives us as the observers the whole picture of what they're trying to do. So I don't think that's more true for Lindy than it would be for any other coach, that the staff is important, because we're talking about older, experienced coaches. You want some of those so young guys with different ideas. But it will be telling how Kevin and Lindy put it all together.
Anything else in the chat that you're seeing? Because I know you're sick of me. You know, you already had me two times this week. And I think we caught a lot of good stuff already out of the chat. Chat's talking to each other tonight, which I love to see.
One more point I will make, and this can probably lead us into just a you know, something to leave the listeners with, and something to leave on our brains as we think about future episodes. Who might be in play as additions because Lindy Ruff is now here? I don't yet know the answer without combing through some of those those Dallas and New Jersey rosters, probably the most recent rosters that you could tap mm-hmm. into for some Lindy connections, or New York maybe if some guys knew him there. But you saw it over and over again with Don Granato. And we talk a lot about whether players will be willing to come to Buffalo and play for this team, given everything that's gone on here. So who might Lindy's presence, you know, help attract? I think that's an interesting thought exercise. And maybe there's some players that come to mind for you. I don't know. Again, just because a guy played for Lindy doesn't mean he liked playing for Lindy too. So there might be some guys in New Jersey that aren't keen on the idea of hitting the repeat button on that.
No, that's a good call. And again, I definitely want to sit down and kind of comb through some things a little bit. I'm still kind of, you know, digesting it, but it's good. I think at the end of the day, I can rationalize this, but I don't know. You're helping me figure it out, Matthew. You're helping me figure it out, but I definitely need a little more time. And that's what the beach is going to do next week for me. I'm going to come back all refreshed, and I'm going to have a really good take on Lindy Ruff. Or maybe not. We'll see. It's going to distract me from all this draft stuff that's going on right now behind the scenes. But yeah, James Patrick, you know, I can't believe I forgot about that. He was hired way back, like in the
November, like, right, I think,
right? Started. Yeah. Victoria finished 29-30. Yeah, so they were just a shade under 500 this year. They allowed 272 goals in the Western League this year. Kind of forgetful. But they did make the playoffs. I didn't want to be here very long with you tonight. No offense.
No offense.
Yeah, don't take any offense to that. But no, so I guess more to come on the Lindy hire. You know, we have good numbers again tonight. Can't thank anyone. Just very, very thankful for all the people that are in here tonight. Kind of, they're just, this market just craves hockey news, man. I know that the team made it easy today, but they're showing up. There's hockey games on, and there's people that are in here with us right now. So that's outstanding to everyone that joined the chat tonight. This was designed to be a quick hit episode. We did over an hour and 20 minutes in the last two episodes. We're going to cut you guys a little break tonight. But yeah, big news today. So now we get to see how the staff rounds out. Free agency is going to be here before you know it. Really interesting. Matthew, we got an agenda carved out. We're going to have plenty of shows coming up, like I've said on previous episodes. Parting words, Matthew, because I always like end it quick. I don't give you that last shot. Anything, or what do you want? Here, how about this? Matthew, you want to do your plugs?
I just have to say, we were the number one hockey podcast in Brazil today, which is exciting. And we snuck into the top 10 for the first time in America, which is where we live and broadcast from. So that, no offense to Brazil, was even more exciting. Thankful yes. for everybody that has turned to us for the commentary, the engagement in the chat. It's an exciting, interesting time for this team and an off season that will provide us with a lot of different little rabbit holes we can go down in terms of these shows. And I'm excited to do some of those with you. And keep interacting and growing this thing. So yeah, people can find me at The Athletic as always. And, you know, there will be certainly some new stuff up there in the morning and throughout the day as Lindy is introduced in this news conference. We'll see if we learn anything about some of these questions that we've raised here and some of the folks in the chat have raised.
Matthew, I know you're going to be all over it. It's funny. I was very tired when we started this episode tonight. Now that I've been drinking a coffee, I'm all buzzed up and wired, but it's too late. I'm already committed. I'm going to go walk the dogs. And oh, here we go. How do you say compete level in Portuguese, Brian Cummings? Yes, Cabral was Portuguese, landed in Brazil. That's why they speak Portuguese in Brazil. There's a little known fact. I was at one time a history major. All right. Anyways. For Matthew Fairburn at The Athletic, for the production crew in front of my house that actually loves the Lindy Ruff hire, I'm Chris Baker. Thanks, everyone, once again for hopping in tonight. We're going to see you again very soon.